Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, take a moment with me to take focus on Christ's church as she really is. We'll lift up our eyes, at least in our minds, to see the saints gathered in heaven already before us, gathered there since the day of faithful Abel, through the Old Testament prophets and patriarchs, through the priests and the faithful believers looking for the Messiah who was to come, from the prophets to the apostles and those who were faithful pastors and martyrs of the church, to saints daily and also extraordinarily present in God's church through the ages, to today where throughout this world people gather around God's word and receive his sacraments and are drawn in faith into the one holy Christian and apostolic church. The church is one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is the bride of Christ, redeemed from death and sin and guilt by his sacrifice. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. So consumed was he for love for his church that he laid down his life as a sacrifice, and raising up again from the dead, began to gather her in his presence and continues to do so until the last person is counted and brought into the fold, and he can return again in glory to redeem not only his church, but this world itself. She is one church. From every time, from every place, from every people, elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. She has people from among the nations that speak languages that are no longer spoken, to languages of all tongues and places on this globe today, to those who speak only in sign, to those who also speak with all kinds of languages. She is gathered and unified through the Spirit and the means of grace. She is his new creation by water and the word. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food. And no matter what the world thinks, no matter what the world sees in terms of this visible church, the invisible church itself is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, now and forever. For her Lord promised that he would build her upon the rock of his word, and the gates of hell itself would never stand against it. She has one Lord, one faith, one Father. She is united and will be forever. True, on this earth, it doesn't seem that way. She will one day, however, gather in heaven with him. And to one hope she presses with every grace endued, mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. This is the true vision of God's church, who she really is and what she really means to our Lord. And it is that church that we can rejoice that we are a part of through God's grace and by the cleansing of the waters of holy baptism, as we also are a part of his bride, the church. Now, in the fog of the battle that is on earth today, it is hard to see this. The church is engaged in a battle between God and his forces and Satan and his forces. Through all of the fog of war, we get confused and divided and turned around. We can hardly see in front of our eyes for the smoke of the battle. It is hard to see that the church is one, is holy, and is apostolic. It is instead much easier to see divisions and all of the clamor of this earth as sinners, saints, and those who are not saints continue to hurt the reputation of God's church. We can be distracted by gay bishops in the Episcopal Church, by people in our own ranks who would claim that all people really do pray to the true God, by others who would distract us to give into the world so that by being comfortable with them, maybe more people will come to church, and by all of the usual roster of heresies and heterodoxies and all manner of human opinions that can continue to seem to divide and to hurt the church. Though with a scornful wonder men see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Their cry goes up how long? And soon the night of weeping will be the morn of song. In this battle it is easy to get carried away with the zeal for God's word and for what the church stands for, as we do battle against those things which are truly important, that compromise the gospel, that take people away from the Lord and her church. We can easily be distracted into things that really are not that important. Exactly how many verses of the introit shall the congregation say in Iowa? Against what kind of vestments should we wear? On what grounds should a person become a baptized member, then a communicant member, then a voting member? What color should be the carpet in the sanctuary? It is very easy in the midst of the battle to get confused as if these things mattered quite as much as the gospel. And while we may be right, when we engage in such details, it is easy to get lost in the fray and engage in or be wounded by friendly fire, as Christians, instead of being patient and kind and gentle with one another, decide to do battle with each other rather than the enemy. Our Lord urges us, as any general would on the field, instead to strive to stay together. He holds forth the banner of his cross and rallies us to his side so that we fight instead the enemy rather than each other. When we are lost in battle, we can look up and see that cross on which Christ died for our sins and bore them all away, that blood which he bought us with and cleansed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Here at this cross, even our anger, our impatience, and our pride are paid for and forgiven. Here at the cross is the true strength to carry forth in the battle, is the way to be able to see the goal that God has for us and to move forward together as his army. When we do this, we can see where the battle really rages and join that fight again. And when that battle is over, we will rejoice for the victory that is already won for us by Christ and which we now participate in to bring a final end to it. At that day, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. In that day, when the opening strains of the music of the wedding feast of the Lamb sounds forth, we will rejoice and be at rest, and see with both our earthly eyes as well as our spiritual eyes, the church of God, glorious and arrayed as a bride ready to be married to her husband. Amen.